Well, hello and welcome. I'm Jamie Young, and on this World Ventures special edition of Drive Time University Overdrive, we're going to interview one of our top income earners. What's so unique about this gentleman is oftentimes in our magazines, in our recognition from stage, from the trainers that you see training all around the world, you see these faces, these leaders of success. But in addition to those leaders, there are other leaders that don't need the limelight, that have special talents and abilities to work with people and help build them up and then release them. And those are the leaders that you're seeing sometimes up on stage. The gentleman that we're talking about today has hit the highest rank in the company, International Marketing Director. He's been extremely successful in his past, but he had to figure out how to do things at World Ventures just like everybody else. He's got over 20 years experience at the financial industry. And in addition to that, he's an entrepreneur, but I think more importantly than his business background, what's so amazing about him is that he's a family man. He's a man that cares. It's about, you know, the time that he can spend with his children and his grandchildren and creating those memories and experiences. And knowing him personally, I know that he just gets so much great joy to see how World Ventures has impacted people's lives, not just in his team, but literally all around the world. And we are just so blessed and honored to get a chance to speak with him today. He's going to be sharing some tips, some tricks, some things that he does, and how, like I mentioned, that he has achieved the highest rank in our company in World Ventures. It's absolutely incredible, and we're just blessed to be able to get the time to spend with him today. One thing that I also like to point out that I think is really amazing is that although he's hit the highest rank in the company, like almost virtually all of the leaders that we have and the people that have done the same, he didn't stop. He's continued to build his business and to help spread this and help other people achieve the success and the smiles on their faces that he has. So we're so fortunate and privileged to talk to the one and only Mr. Tom Gorath out of Bloomington, Minnesota. And so, Tom, why don't you help us get this kicked off and just tell us a little bit about your background.
Jamie, hello. Thanks so much, and thanks for your kind introduction. I am from the financial services background, as you said. I did that for 20-plus years. I did that on the agency building side, as we describe it. Did a fair amount of recruiting and training. And I learned a lot about leadership in that industry. In 2003, some things happened. Of course, there were a lot of changes going on in corporate America. And a major change happened in my background. The company was bought out. And I was terminated at that time without cause and began a six-year journey in my world, which I refer to as the desert time in my life. And during those 6 years, I scrambled. I saw my income drop to about 15% of what it was just a year prior and began to reorient and rethink and rework and struggle and go through some of the most difficult times in my life. In fact, times I really never thought would happen to me. And there's probably a lot of people out there listening today that might be in the middle of a time like that. And one of the things I did was I focused on, you know, my having a positive attitude. And I focused on some of the interpersonal spiritual parts of my life that were really important to me. But I got to tell you, emotionally, mentally, financially, over that six-year desert, it took me to the lowest point that I've ever experienced. And there's not really time to go into that. Just simply said, there were multiple dimensions in my world that were unraveling. When a friend of mine, his name is Jason, he's a chiropractor, he called me one day, this is about 5.5 years ago, and told me that we should sit down for a cup of coffee. He wanted to share an idea with me. And I said, yeah, let's get together. One of the premises that I have is that I will always listen to ideas when people call me and want to share them with me. That's just a rule I have. I love ideas. I'm interested in people. I'm interested in what they do, how they do it. And if people call me up for 30, 40 minutes of my time I'm going to give it to him. And I think that's helped me, just as a side note, it's helped me in my own invite process. As I invite people to see what I do, I expect them to be open-minded as well. I don't expect a no. I expect people should be interested. People should take a look. People should see what's going on. And then they can say yes or no. And that's how I went into that coffee meeting with Jason. And I looked at it. I listened to his story. I asked him a number of questions. And I was impressed with this 3.5-year-old company at that time. I was impressed with the product, the value that they were bringing to the customer. And I was skeptical. And I was probably most skeptical because of where I was in my current position. The 6-year desert had brought me to a point where skepticism was a natural reaction. And he told me about a dream trip he had taken, the experience that it was. It was a cruise. It was an Alaskan cruise. He told me how much fun he had with his in-laws and the money he saved. He told me about the company experience, the business building over that last 12 months that he had been in it. And it had been a story that got my attention. It was a successful story. And so I jumped in. I'm the type of person that wants you, I needs you to show me how to do things. I'm not the kind of person that's going to sit down and read out of a book or listen to a DVD and say, this is how you do it. Show me how to do it and I'll get it. That was reflected in the way I studied in school growing up. When I got into financial services, that was one of the things I learned. I'm a show me, teach me type of person. So, you know, a number of weeks go by and I'm not doing much in the business. And what happened at that point was he called me up one day and we were talking about things and I said, you know, you got to show me how to do this thing. And he said, hey, come with me to a training. And so I went to my first training and it was in Nashville, Tennessee. And at this particular training, I went again, I would say, to be honest, as a skeptic. I went trying to prove that maybe this would not work, maybe this would not be the deal. And as I spent time at this training, it was called an acceleration back then, I met a lot of people who were excited about World Ventures. I met co-founders. I met people who had been there from the beginning. Even though it was 3.5 years, they had some experience. And I really liked what I saw. And I came home, and I could tell you what I said to my wife and I want to tell you what I would say to my wife today. 5.5 years ago, I went home, and I said to my wife, I have found something that I want to put my head down on and work hard at for the next 3 years. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if I'm going to fall on my face. I don't know if I'll fail. I'm going to go hard for 3 years. And her reaction was kind of whatever. And the reason for that, I'm not going to go into the reasons for it other than picture the 6-year desert. Here's another thing. And today, 5.5 years later, this is what I wish I would have said to Jill. And by the way, we've been married now 30 years. And what I wish I would have said to her back then was this. I found a company that can change my skill set, can raise my skill set, and change my mindset and take us through our next breakthroughs. Because that's what's happened to us in the last 5.5 years.
Wow. So, Tom, when you came out of that training, you know, you had that conversation with Jill, did all of a sudden the flip just got switched and you ran out of the gates, or what it looked like when Tom Gores really got started. You started doing those daily activities.
When I got back, of course, this was in November, so we had the holiday season, and we had, you know, there were over the next weeks you had things that were distractions. But I remember in the beginning of 2009, really putting my head down and talking to people, making my list, calling people up, sitting down with them one-on-one, because that's how it was showed to me, right? And I lived 2 hours away from the nearest market, from the nearest meetings. So I just started to sit with people and show them what I was doing. And what I would tell people was that I want you to come with me, enter in this journey with me. We can do this together. We can have fun together. I'll help you build this with me. I don't know how long it's going to take to build it to the top levels, but we can go build it together. I want you to come. I think people bought into my excitement, my attitude, my mindset of this is where we're going and this is what we're doing. Now, the next month, we had another acceleration training, and a number of people from my team, this small little young team, had come to the next training. Can't remember if it was in Phoenix, Arizona, or Kansas City, but they were back-to-back then. And the following month, I had a number more personals on the team, and the team was growing. A number of more came along to the next acceleration training. And I learned early on from Mark Aceta's talks and others' talks that the key was to bring people into the business and bring the people that want to build the business to the trainings. Let the trainings do the heavy lifting. We all find this, that we'll bring someone in and we'll sit down with them within a week and share with them the 10 steps, and they don't believe us. They don't believe the prophet in their own town. And they'll go off to that next regional, or they'll go off to the next national event, and they'll hear the same words from someone else like it's a brand new idea. So bringing people in and bringing them to the meeting, to the events, has been absolutely key to success. And it's one of the things I've enjoyed over the months. I count the months that I'm in the business. I'm on month 66, I believe, and I've been to just over 60 trainings, counting regionals, counting accelerations, counting national events. And they've been life-changing for me.
So for the new person who's listening to this, you know, you're hearing these different trainings, and I just want to break down kind of our training system for you so you fully understand. I want you to really capture everything that Tom's talking about, because this is so powerful. So in the past, we used to have what we call acceleration trainings, which was where everyone in the company, and that was at the time we were only in the United States, so everybody in the United States each month would literally get on a plane, bus, drive, whatever, and go to one location. And we'd fly in our director of training, Mark Aceta, and then we'd have a couple of trainers sometimes as well, and we would pack a bunch of information and training on how you could succeed in your business into that two-day weekend. And typically for most people, on average, it costs about $1,000 once you include flight, hotel, training costs, et cetera. But as we grew and started to evolve and we started building such leadership, we got into a position where we could now start doing things at a lower cost. And and by the way, those trainings were about $300. So when you're hearing Tom reference that he went to a training 1 month and then the next month, every time that's $300 for that event. But as we grew in size and as we developed more and more trainers, people that could also help us out, we've been able to lower costs and provide more trainings. And so right now, we have our regional trainings, and our regional trainings are under $50 typically, and almost two times out of every 3 months typically we'll have these, and we'll have them in over 20 different cities all around the U.S. and Canada and in different countries that we're open in as well. And then you can literally, what you're getting at that training event is you're getting a lot of the content, almost all the content that we used to give at an acceleration training, packed into one day. And it's in your local market typically, so it's very simple to get to. It's very easy to keep the cost down to go for that. Then we have our national events, which Tom mentioned as well. That's where we're talking about Momentum, or United, Boot Camp, and then also The View from the Edge, which people call The View. And those are the national events, and that's where we all come together as one big team. That's when everyone flies in for those events. And typically those have been well under $300, and we run different specials depending on the event there. But what's crazy is that those have now started selling out. You know, our last events, I think right now for the event we've got coming up for Boot Camp, just to give you an idea if you're brand new, you know, we've got over 10,000 people that are going to be attending that event. And, you know, I think the events that Tom was talking about back then were, you know, a couple hundred at the time. So you can really start to see the growth of the picture that I'm trying to paint here for you. So I just wanted everyone to really understand the progression of our events. And, you know, as he's Tom saying, build from event to event to event. And, Tom, I'm going to let you kind of continue with your story there and, you know, take us a little bit further how you move through the ranks from there.
As I began the journey with World Ventures, I did something that I don't recommend most people do. My back was against the wall. I had really one option: put my head down and go full time, or try to fall back on something else with divided loyalty. Again, this is a choice that I made. It was a difficult choice. Going after World Ventures and dropping cold turkey everything else is a risk. It's one that I calculated, one that I was prepared to take. So over the next 4 years, I began to run hard, and I paid attention. And as I said, I didn't just go to trainings. I would go back and work on the skills that I learned at the training. I say it this way today: there's skill set and there's mindset. Mindset has been developed month after month after month at the training events. My skill sets have been developed the day I got back and went back into battle, went back on the battlefield. I learned that if I didn't go back onto the battlefield right away, it was hard to get back on the battlefield. I also have watched people just focus on their mindset, and the skill set never comes. The skill set is the scarier part. The skill set comes by going out and doing it, making the calls, sitting down with people, inviting people to the travel party, getting up and doing the presentation. That's where the growth really starts to happen. And the people that grow the quickest are the people that are doing a lot in the battlefield, and they're jumping right back into the mindset training that next month. So that repetition ended up being key to success, not only for me, but for many. And I believe it was in our fourth month from that first training. So it was about my 6 month in the business that I hit director, and 1 month later I hit marketing director. Now, I believe I came to World Ventures as a marketing director. I just simply mean this: the skill set that I had developed over 22 years of what I did in financial services had given me enough of the tools and skills that I needed to become a marketing director. And I became a marketing director fairly quick. It took me 2 years to get to regional marketing director because I had to develop additional skills. And I had to develop my mind. Those things had to come before I could hit regional marketing director. It was a year later that we hit national marketing director, and then the end of the fourth year when we hit IMD. Now, one of the things that we do is we tend to compare our beginnings to somebody else's middle. And I've done this in my life. I've compared my beginnings to somebody else's middle many times. It's called trying to keep up with the Joneses, watching what your neighbors do, or in our meetings, we'll watch so-and-so gets the BMW in this amount of time, or so-and-so hits a rank in a shorter amount of time. And I think we oftentimes overlook the skill set mindset piece that's been put in place and has been developed over time, where people accomplish ranks quicker as we look from the outside in. So I won't pick out a name. I'll just say some of our top 10 income earners have hit highest ranks very quickly. But if you study their background, you'll find out that they had experience in our industry before they ever came to World Ventures. Before they ever got here, they were an IMD the day they signed up for their World Venture Rep Agreement. They just had to go prove what they already knew how to do. And so I couldn't compare my beginning to somebody like that's middle. Some of those people have got 18 to 20 years of experience in, and they've got 20, 30, 40 years left. They're just in the middle of their career, right? I've been here doing this. This is my first time that I've done specifically network marketing for 5.5 years. And while it did come fairly quick in some regards, you know, again, if you saw my whole story over the 22 years of building agency, again, I had skills that I was developing that brought me to this point. So one of the recommendations I have for the newer people in the business listening today is that you do not compare your beginning to somebody else's middle. I remember one time talking to one of the top 10 income earners, a husband and wife, that I was in, I believe, my second year, and I asked them, tell me, how much did you make your first year? How much did you make your first 12 months? They had already, at this time, five, six years in the business, and were driving the cars and had the home and all the good stuff. But I didn't care about what it was 6 years. I was in my second year, and I was asking, what did you do your first year? And they said to me, our first year, we made $12,000. And I tell you, it's just like the pressure came off of me. It was just the weight of, wow, I'm ahead of that. I was comparing my beginning to their beginning. And I think that's really key to success in anything that we do. Now, another reason for success over those years is obviously unbelievable people on the team. And I'm not going to go in and name names because there's so many names to name. But there are a number that are national trainers. There are a number that are regional trainers. I've sat in regional trainings where my team members are the trainers. And I just got to tell you, I love it. I absolutely love it. If somebody said to me, Tom, you can be a national trainer next month. If Mark Aceta said that, if he called me up, or he called me up and said, there are two or three or four of these people that we're talking about putting on the schedule next month on your team, I'm saying, let them have at it. Give them a shot. Let them take it. Because it's really all about helping people grow and become better than yourself. And I kind of jokingly will say, you know, that's not hard to do when you're working with me. Lots of people can be better than me. And there is truth in that statement as well. But it's something that I look back on with pride is probably the wrong word, but it brings me joy. It brings me true happiness to see people on our team that are involved in helping this company at the trainer level move forward.
That's so awesome, Tom. And it's neat because, you know, to get a chance to see you sitting there at the training, I think that's like a really important thing is that, you know, you've got these people on your team that are having this great level of success that are now training the people in the company, but you're still there. You're still there. You're humble enough to say, what can I learn? What can I get from this? And you're still showing up. You're leading by example to plug into the trainings. And so I just want to acknowledge you for that. I think that's so awesome how you've done that. So here you are. You've a lot of adversity, some struggles. What's the lifestyle like? How does it feel?
You know, it's interesting. That's a great question. My lifestyle, I had a good lifestyle one time in my life. And I grew up in a home that had a good lifestyle. And so, you know, I felt like that's what I wanted to provide for my family. And we were blessed. God was good to us. I even raised my kids in the same home that I grew up in with all the cool amenities and 20 acres and horses and all that. And thinking back in 2001 and 2002 that, this is great, you know. What a great life. And when that was gone, when that was literally taken away overnight, I went through a process over that next 6 years where when I came to World Ventures, this is honestly what I wanted. When somebody asked me, what's your why? My why in the beginning was simply this. I want to pay my bills. And I want to own a house. Why are you doing this? I mean, I just want to pay my bills without any hassles, and I want to own a home. And I'll tell you just a quick story that gives a picture into our company's our leadership. I remember when I hit the car bonus. It was when at that time the car bonus started at RMD. And you had to have 900 active lineage, and I won't break down the details. But you had to have a lot more people then than you do now. And I had gone through so much financial setback, I could not get a loan for a car. My income was approaching 60% of what it was in financial services. And I took that car and sold it, and I bought a boat. And I'm going to tell you what two of my most favorite things are about lifestyle. One of the things I love to do with my family is get on a lake in Minnesota in our boat. And one of the reasons boats are so nice is because they don't get to go very far when you're in the boat. They might jump out and swim a ways, but they're coming back. So we've enjoyed that boat. And the second thing I love to do with my family, it's the thing that I reflect back on as I grew up as a kid, is travel. I've got two grandkids born in the last 7-8 months, a grandson and a granddaughter. My grandson already has a passport and has been to Mexico by the time he was about 4 months old. And it has given us a completely new reason, additional reason, to run. When little Grayson and Hadley were born, I can remember not being in the hospital thinking, okay, this is the next generation. This is the reason, this is one of the reasons that I want to do what I do. And I'll just expand a little further on my why, because initially my why was paying bills. This is how low I was. This is when I tell you the desert, I can't express or explain to you really what that was like, but it literally was pay my bills. It took me about 14, 15 months to get to the point where all of our bills were paid. And it took me about 2 years to get to the point of really thinking about time freedom. I think it took me a year and a half to take a dream trip because I was using all of my travel dollars to go to trainings and to build the team. Again, I don't recommend that necessarily. You have to do what you have to do. I love the idea of get in the business and take a trip. And today we've got some phenomenal trips that you can usually drive to at a very reasonable cost and accomplish that goal. But where I was at that time, it took me almost 24 months to go on my first dream trip. And I took my mom. And a couple of months later, I took my wife. And there's something significant about when I took my mom because, and again, that ties into the six-year desert. But my dad was in prison. And we don't have time in this story to unpack that. My dad's home today, and we're thankful for that. And we're blessed for that, and there's been a lot of good that came out of that whole experience. But it was really cool taking my mom to Nova Scotia on a trip. And it was really cool taking my wife, obviously, on the next one. But the lifestyle today is I would say, for me and for Jill, our lifestyle is more conservative than it used to be. We don't have debt. We work to have money in the bank. We work to have all things caught up and paid for. We work to tithe regularly. And I'm just going to touch on this one. I think it's one of the most impactful things in my last 5 years is not only did we continue to tithe in the desert, but our tithing has grown in World Ventures. The percentage every year is going up. And I love it. I love writing that check that goes out to help other people, other organizations, and so forth. In fact, hey, it's one of the things I love about World Ventures. You can call it tithing. You can call it the foundation. You can call it giving. World Ventures believes in it. I believe in it in a big way. And then, of course, I honestly think one of the biggest things about our company is just the relationships that you can travel with your friends, travel with your team, you can connect with people, and most of all, this really just turned into my why today, which is helping people accomplish what they want to accomplish. And if you want to call that their why, their goals, but I think the number one thing we can do when we bring somebody in, sign up a personal, one of the first things we can do is find out clearly what is it that you want and then help them get what they want. You know, I know Zig Ziglar said we can get everything we want in life if we help enough people get what they want. And that principle and that concept it can't be any more true right here in what we do. So when I sit down with somebody, they come into the business, I will typically ask them very early on, what do you want from this business? Realizing they don't even really know what they want, I'll say this. There are one of four things that you want. One, you want to be a member. You want to just take trips, have fun, take your family on vacation, enjoy the product. That I call that a member. I want 10,000 of you on my team. Two, you want to get your four, pay no more, or get your six and get the bonus. Okay? You want to make the fee go away. Three, you want residual income. You want a check on the 15th of every month coming in your mailbox. You want another stream of income. I'm a big believer in multiple streams of income. And it's probably because of the six-year desert. It's probably because of what happened to me in 2003. But I'm an all-out believer in multiple streams of income. And four, you just want all in. That was me. When I saw this, after one training, I said, I'm going head first, all in. So where would you be on that scale? Would you be a member only? Would you be get your four, pay no more? Would you be mailbox money on the 15th? Or would you be all in? And when they tell me what they want, the next step is help them strategize a plan to get that. Help them get exactly what they want, because here's what's happening. If somebody says to me they want to be a member, and I go through the Dream Trip site, and I go through the back office, and I show them how you book a trip, how you can take a trip, and I show them how to shop and use Rovia Concierge, I show them this product, and then they start using it, and they book a trip, and I'll send them out the door with the assignment. Here's your assignment. You've got 2 weeks to book a trip in the next 60 days that you'll take in the next 6 months. Just book a trip in the next 60 days that you'll take in the next 6 months. This happens almost every time. When they book a trip and take the trip, they come home, and you know what they want? They want more. How do you get your four? How do I tell my parents, my uncle, my dad, my mom, my brothers and sisters, they're really saying, I want more. Now if I turn around and help them go get their four or get their six, and we can see that happen quickly, you know what they want? They want residual income. They want more. But oftentimes, in the very beginning, I was just showing people the deal, and I was saying, okay, let's go kill this thing, and then, boom, they don't answer their phone in a week. I stand back, and I scratch my head, and I say, what's going on here? And what was really going on there is I was trying to help them get what I wanted. I wasn't trying to help them honestly, sincerely get what they wanted. And that's what I do today. I really have a desire of helping people get what they want. And if they want my help, I'm here for you. I'm a three-way call away. I will come and work with people when they ask me to come. I do that often. And on the same hand, it's this. If people don't want me to come, I have leaders on my team that don't need me. I have leaders on my team that don't even want me to come. And it's okay. We can't take that kind of a thing personally. We've got to let people fly. We've got to let people become whatever they want to be. And you know what? They're either going to fly and they're going to pass you up and that's all cool, or they're going to fly and they're going to fall down and they're going to want some help. But there is so much to do. There's so much to follow up with. There are so many people that are out there that we can go help that we don't have time to sit around and worry about hurt feelings when it comes to our own personal feelings about how somebody on our team might see a situation, along that line.
Tom, one of the things that you were talking about, and if you'd like to expand upon that, I think it could be valuable for people, is that, you know, with World Ventures, this is another stream of income typically when somebody starts. And so they've got their job or a business, and then they also have World Ventures on top of that. And one of the things that you were speaking to, and I'm not saying give financial advice, but maybe to speak a little bit more to the philosophies of financial responsibility, because if someone does go through the ranks and starts creating income with World Ventures, it does have the possibility to be significant. It doesn't happen for all. I mean, if you look at our income disclosure statement, you'll see the numbers there for yourself. But as people start making income from a second stream of income, do you have any thoughts about financial responsibility that you can share with us?
Well, I think that financial responsibility is something that we all have to learn to grow and to develop and deal with. In fact, there are people that are making way more money now in World Ventures than they ever made prior to World Ventures. So we've got to learn how to handle success. You know, it's one thing. Sometimes people have a fear of failure. That keeps them from starting. After they've started, sometimes people will have a fear of success. It keeps them from rising up through the ranks. And then sometimes people will start to accomplish ranks that get into a six-figure number. They get the ring. And it's, you know, maybe not at 100, it might not happen, but at 200, you might start to say, whoa, you know, what is this? This is new to me. And I think we've got to be lifelong learners. I think we've got to be constantly plugging into other mentors, other people, whether it be leaders within World Ventures, asking them, what do you do? Whether it be books that we can read. I'll tell you, one of the best books on finances, in my opinion, is a book called Thou Shall Prosper, written by a Jewish rabbi. And I love this book. And it covers so many aspects of money. And some of the subjects I talked about earlier, but also just the idea of, again, multiple streams of income, of saving, of accumulating net worth. So no, I don't have specific things that I'd like to share on this CD. I do have just the larger idea of becoming a student, that we have to grow in that area as well. How do we handle resources? And how do we steward resources is really, I think, the right question to ask. And I don't have that all figured out. I'm learning it right along with all the rest of you, and we can learn and grow it together.
I still think that's fantastic, Tom. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So before we wrap up the interview, is there anything that you would like to share with the people that are listening? Maybe someone heard something today, and they go, you know what, it just clicked for me. And maybe you help them identify what their why is, what their goals are. You help them overcome some mental hurdle or something that's been blocking them. Is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't covered already to help them get out of the gates or to take action when the call is done?
There are clues all around us of why success happens. When you go to the trainings, I would say don't just listen to what people are saying, but pick one or two or three of the leaders that you want to mentor under, that you want to, even from a distance, that you want to follow their style, that you want to become what they become in a way. Not that you have to, you know, copy so-and-so and clone somebody, but I think that there are all different personalities. There are all different colors that are in the front three rows of our big trainings. And the personality colors, the red, green, blue, yellow, there's all different colors up there. And not everybody is going to follow everybody that's up there, right? And for me, I've always been a mentor type person in terms of, I should see a mentoree, I guess. As a kid, I had 10-year older generational people in my life, whether it was my youth group leader, whether it was when I was 20, I had a 30-year-old friend that was a mentor. When I was 30, I had a 40-year-old and 50-year-old. And a couple of those mentor guys are on my team in World Ventures. One's a marketing director, one's a director. And it's fun to see, even over time, how the roles change. There's times I'm mentoring them. There are times they're mentoring me. And it might happen within, you know, marriage issues. It might happen within financial issues. It might happen with how do you, of course, how do you build this business? And I would say, I keep coming back to, you want to run hard, and you want to be diligent, and you want to stay a course. Remember when I said in the beginning, I said to my wife, Jill, I want to put my head down on this for 3 years. I wish I would have said to her, I want to put my head down on this for a lifetime. I mean, what businesses out there? Right now I'm involved in several businesses as a silent person. It's passive. Actively, I am involved in World Ventures. But I don't talk about those other things much because it can be confusing to people. I don't want to leave a message out there ever that this is not my active thing. This is my active thing. And what I find whenever you're launching any kind of a business, one of the passive things that I'm involved in just as an investor This guy has been, the founder, has been eating macaroni and cheese for 8 years. 8 years when I come along and invest. And one of the reasons I invested is because I believe in this guy that's so committed. You want to know something? I'm looking for people in World Ventures that are committed. See, here we don't have to put down thousands of dollars to get into this deal, and that's part of our problem. It's part of our setback. People don't have a huge cost of getting in. It's a minor cost compared to, it's minuscule compared to what most businesses require. And therefore, a lot of people come at it with a minuscule approach. They say, well, I'm going to try this for 60 days or 90 days, and I'll go. Tom said go to a training, so I'm going to go to a training and see what that's like. I'm telling you, everybody that I talk to, if they get in the business or don't go in the business, need to take the next year and come to our training for 12 months. Because here's what will happen. The thing they're doing today, Mayo Clinic, is that where you work? A hospital you work at, you're a police officer, you're an attorney, you're a CPA, whatever it is that you do, if you plug into our system, your business will grow. Now, if you make this, if you plug into our system, this will become a secondary stream of income, and this business will grow over time as well. I'm convinced, we had a person on our team this last week hit senior rep in his fourth year. And I'm telling you, I'm happy for this guy, because for this guy to hit senior rep in his fourth year was like some people hitting IMD in their second year. This guy has really has worked and developed and changed and grown and committed and put his head down for a period of time. Like my buddy Michael, who's got his head down for 8 years in this other thing. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so intrigued by just business in general. The larger the investment that people have made, the larger the commitment they've made, and that inspires me. That kind of commitment inspires me. And people, if you will approach this business with that kind of commitment, your chances are extremely high for success.
Wow, Tom. I think that answered the question. Well, thank you so much for the time that you have spent with us. You have shared so many great tips and things that people can apply immediately to have more fun, freedom, and fulfillment in their lives. And so I thank you. And I know that for anybody listening, you know, like we were talking about, Tom, he does this for you guys. He's trying to add value anytime that he can. And so if you want to thank him, I know the best way of thanking him is for you to go succeed. And if you're at one of our major events and you see Tom Gores, go up, shake his hand, take a picture with him, you know, thank him for what he shared with you on this interview right now. But, Tom, I'm blown away. I knew that we were going to get some really good information from you, and you absolutely delivered. So thank you so much. Until next time, this is Jamie Young signing off.